And we have been reading, starting to read, in Sanchi's great book, In the Palace of Love. A couple of weeks ago, we began reading in the first chapter, The Giver and the Doer. And we read the story of Asraj, the crippled king, and how he reached the top after going through the bottom. And we saw that that was, in fact, the ultimate story. What I call the biblical story, because it's the primary point of the Bible, that after the crucifixion comes the resurrection. And without the crucifixion, there is no resurrection. Sanchi continues on from that to tell another story which makes the same basic point. And then he picks up, this book is basically a commentary on the Asa Divar, which is a section of the Guru Granth Sahib, mostly written by Guru Nanak. So Sanchi says, in the life sketch of Guru Nanak, there is a story about a person who is very devoted to him. After connecting many souls with Shabad Nam, Guru Nanak came to River Ravi and settled on its banks in a place which became Kartarpur Badian. And many people came to see him there and receive initiation from him. Because you know that if there is a pond or river or any source of good water, you don't need to tell anybody there is water there. Those who are thirsty will find the place and go there by themselves. In the same way, when Guru Nanak settled on the banks of River Ravi, many people who are yearning for the devotion of the Lord and who wanted to realize God came to him by themselves. One of them was a merchant who became very devoted to Guru Nanak. He was a young man of 35 years, and every morning at 3 o'clock he would cross the river, have the darshan of Guru Nanak, and remove the dirt of his soul. Then he would bathe in the river and remove the dirt of his body. Then he would sit for meditation. This was his daily routine, and he did it every day without fail. Once it so happened that after having the darshan of Guru Nanak at 3 in the morning, he went into the river to bathe, and a crocodile swallowed him. Not far away in another part of the river, a rich fisherman was laying down his traps, and on that day he caught, along with the usual small fish, that crocodile. He became very happy, thinking, now I will become still wealthier, and took the crocodile home. When he cut open its stomach, out came the body of that initiate merchant, and the fisherman was surprised to see not one scratch on him, even though he had used a very sharp knife to cut open the crocodile's stomach. He cleaned his body for him, but that devotee was not conscious. And when he came back into life, he didn't remember anything. It was as though he were reborn. When we are born into our present life, we don't remember anything of our past births. In the same way, that devotee did not remember anything of his past. The fisherman was very happy, because he had a lot of money and no children, and he had been craving a son. And here was a son without any effort on his part. He thought, God has been very gracious on me. He has given me this beautiful son who has already grown up so that I don't have to work hard raising him. He adopted him as his son and found a very good match for him. He married him to a girl who became, although she did not know it, his second wife, because he was already married when he was swallowed by the crocodile, and he had 2 children by that earlier wife. And he and his second wife had 2 daughters and 2 sons. His first wife and her children had never stopped looking for him since he had disappeared. And in the course of their search, one day they came to a fair where the devotee and his second family were enjoying themselves. They ran into each other, and the first wife at once recognized her husband. She said, "Where have you been? We've been looking for you for so many years." but he did not recognize her. And his second wife got upset and said, "Who are you? Why are you bothering my husband?" Now, both of them were right. He was the husband of both wives, but the poor person did not know anything about his past. It was a very complicated problem. Both wives went to the officer and told him about their problem, but he couldn't make any decision. Then they went to the higher authorities, but they couldn't find any solution either. For them, it was a baseless riddle, and they did not know what to do. But a wise person was present, and he told them, "Why don't you go to a saint or Mahatma? They have inner vision, and they know truth from untruth. One of the Mahatmas will be able to solve your problem. Why not go to Guru Nanak, who is living on the banks of River Ravi in Kartarpur Bedian? He may be able to help you. Saints and Mahatmas have the grace of God Almighty." So both wives of that husband went to Guru Nanak and told him their painful story. Guru Nanak listened, and then he smiled and said, "Daughters, both of you are true. You are both wives of this person. Let me seek the permission of God Almighty. And if it is in His will, something will come up and your problem will be solved." After a moment, Guru Nanak told them, "Both of you stand on either side of him, catch him by his hand, and pull his body toward you, remembering the formless Almighty Lord and having faith in him. If it is his will, maybe both of you will be satisfied." And when they did that, having faith in God and with the grace of Guru Nanak, that person became two people, and each wife went home, taking her husband with her. They were both satisfied. The meaning of telling this story is this: for a saint, nothing is impossible, because saints have the grace of God Almighty. In fact, God works through the saints, and whatever God wants to do, He can do. He can change water into sand. He can take out water from sand. He can make a man into a woman and a woman into a man. So for the saint, for that being in whom God Almighty works, nothing is impossible. History is full of stories which say that the protector is stronger than the one who kills. When Ibrahim was made to walk on fire, that fire was changed to flowers. In the same way, when Prahlad was being killed by his aunt, she took him and sat in the fire because she was a magician and fire did not have any effect on her body. And you know how Prahlad was protected by his almighty master. The history of Sant Mat is full of incidents like this, which show how God or the perfect master protects his disciples. Masters always protect their disciples. The question is, how much faith do we have in the masters? How devoted are we to them? We should also consider how much effort we put into carrying out the orders of the master. Masters always shower grace on us and protect us, but we should also have faith in them, make the effort, and become receptive to their grace. Kabir Sahib says, "He who is protected by God cannot be killed. No one can turn even one of his hairs. If the whole world is against him, no one can harm him." Now, of course, it often appears to the disciple that he is not being protected because things don't always go the way we expect them to go. But Sanjay is talking here from, and the story of Guru Nanak and the man who became two men. You know, the masters work from a dimension that is outside of time and space as we know it. And when it is in the will of God, as Guru Nanak said, that dimension outside of time and space as we know it can be introduced into the world that we know and can manifest therein that way. When it is in the best, ultimate best interest of the disciple, the masters will do whatever is required for us to have what we need in order for us to get back to our real home as quickly as we can. We often confuse what we see as important with what the master sees as important. And we often lose faith when that happens. That is why Sanchi goes into the point, you know, how much faith do we have? How devoted are we to them? And Master Kripal has pointed this out also. You know, something goes wrong and we say, where is God? You know, where is the master? Is he sleeping? You know, why doesn't he pay attention to us? Why doesn't he give us what we want? And the point is that we see things from the perspective of our ego. And our ego is not the criterion by which the masters are looking. They are looking from the point of view of Satchkhand and from the criterion of what is required to take us back to our home. That is what we are signed up for when we ask to be initiated. And that is what, you know, we are experiencing. So the protection is very, very real. And the Master's love is very, very real. It does not always take the form that we expect it to. And when that happens, you know, we can see that as a test if we want to. Or we can see it just as the way the world is. That we don't always get what we want. And that our ego is not what the world is about. Anyway, Sanchi continues now talking about the Asadivar. He says, in this Asadivar, most of the bani is by Guru Nanak, but there is also some writing of Guru Angad Dev Ji. No matter when the saints and Mahatmas have come into this world and written their bani, all Mahatmas have had the same things to say. Without the perfect master, we cannot get Nam. Without Nam, there is no liberation. And without the satsang, we cannot find out about our shortcomings and faults. These are the three main points which the masters have made in their writings. You know, we can sum that up in three words, Satnam, Satguru, and Satsang, which is what Sanchi is saying here. And that's the teaching of the master in those three words. I sacrifice myself for my master hundreds of times a day. He who made gods out of human beings did not take much time to do so. That's the first line of the Asadivar, first couplet. The Sufi saint Sheikh Farid was a perfect saint and a very great meditator. His bani is also included in Guru Granth Sahib. His grandson, Sheikh Baram, who was also his successor, asked many questions of Guru Nanak, and Guru Nanak answered them all. He told him about the importance of having a living master and about the living master's power and what he is able to do. He who has eaten rock candy knows its taste. Only he can tell us about it. In the same way, only he who has received something from the master can tell us about his greatness and glory. So here Guru Nanak Dev Ji is telling Sheikh Baram, I sacrifice myself constantly on the master. Millions of times a day I sacrifice myself on the master who has given me all this. Why do I sacrifice myself so many times on the master? Because he has changed my demon intellect to a godly intellect and put me on the right path. He changed my life and everything in it, and he did not take a long time to do it. He connected me to God Almighty, and he did not delay. And so I sacrificed myself on him millions of times a day. Even if 100 moons were to rise and 1,000 suns to blaze, without the master it would all be dense darkness. Now he says, look here, O Sheikh Baram, in this outer world, this physical plane, there is one sun and one moon. When they shine, they remove the darkness of this plane. But even thousands and millions of suns and moons cannot remove the darkness of ignorance which is within us. That can be done only by the Master. That is why I sacrifice myself on the Master who has removed this darkness of ignorance. O Nanak, those who do not awaken in the Master, but awaken only in their own minds, they, like the false sesame plant, are abandoned in the farm. Abandoned in the farm, they do not please anyone, says Nanak, though they seem to flourish, within their bodies are only ashes. Those who do not receive the Nam initiation from a perfect master, but instead think that just by doing their own reading they are awakened and are doing the devotion of the Lord. Guru Nanak says that their condition is just like that useless false sesame plant which is left in the field by the farmers. Along with the sesame plant, there grows another plant which looks like the sesame. It has flowers and all things in common with it, but it doesn't have any seeds. When the farmers harvest sesame fields, they leave those useless plants in the field. So Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj here compares those people who do not receive Nam initiation from the Masters and who think that by reading and making their own efforts, they can awaken themselves and do the devotion of the Lord, to those useless plants which are left unattended in the fields by the farmers. Those manmukhs may have children, good health, all the things of this world. But when they go to the court of the Lord, they are not accepted because they did not seek the guidance of the Master and therefore did not do the real devotion of the Lord. He himself created himself and he himself created the Nam. Secondly, he created nature. Sitting on the throne, he himself watches the play. God Almighty himself has created this creation. There's no one else who has done it. He himself created the power who created the creation, and he himself gave names to his creatures. You may read the Anurag Sagar and find that God himself created the powers who then became responsible for creating this creation. He himself is sitting and watching everything that is happening. And of course, when it says he himself created himself, there's of course different levels of the divine here. The absolute, when it wished to become many, became many, and the first part of that many was what we call the personal God. Beyond the personal God, what is called Satnam or Satpurush, there is the absolute God, or Radhaswami, or Anami, the nameless one, and the Satnam proceeds from that. And then from the Satnam comes the power, the various powers that created the lower worlds. You are the giver and the doer. After giving your gifts, you yourself make them function. You know all, you give life, and you yourself take it back in a moment. Now he says, you yourself create the bodies, you yourself put light into the bodies, you yourself make them run around. The fact that people can see and do means that you are the only one who has power to make them function. So, creating the throne and sitting on it, you watch the play. Guru Nanak says that there is such a power who has created this creation that is timeless, not within the limits of the negative power or time. And remember that Kal means time. It is created by itself, and it is responsible for the creation and maintenance of the world. Only that power knows who should be brought to the Masters and made to meditate, who should be kept away from the Masters, and who should be allowed and not allowed to do the devotion of the Lord. Only that power knows everything, and that power is taking care of everything. We can have the real understanding of all this only with the grace of the masters and saints. And in fact, when we go within and see the power of God working there, then we realize how that power is working everywhere, within and without, and how everything is happening. In the Asaji Divar, Guru Nanak has touched on almost every subject and talked about every possible thing. Every day in satsang, a new subject will be commented on. And when these talks are published in the form of a book, you will come to realize how much grace Guru Nanak showered on the poor, miserable soul, and in what a good way he has explained everything, which will be helpful to us. And that concludes the first chapter of the, In the Palace of Love. And I want to conclude the readings today with a letter of Baba Sawan Singh, whom we are remembering. This is a very sweet letter, one of my favorites of all his letters, written to Mrs. Brock. I think most everyone knows that Dr. and Mrs. Brock, Dr. Brock was a dentist, and he and his wife were the first initiates of any master in the Western world, lived in Port Angeles, Washington, and were initiated in 1911. And not only were they the first initiates in the Western world, they were the first initiates given the instructions by a representative of the master at the master's instruction, thus instituting a process which has benefited thousands and thousands of people since. They became, because they were the first initiates, they also became Sawan Singh's first representatives. And Dr. Brock continued as Master Kripal's representative, although Mrs. Brock had left the body by the time Kripal had come to the United States. I'm not sure just when she died, but when Master Kripal came in 1955, she was gone, and Dr. Brock, who then was a very old man, did meet Master Kripal. He wrote a brief remembrance of him, which I have included in my book, which concludes with a series of remembrances by various people. Anyway, Baba Sawan Singh wrote many letters to Dr. and Mrs. Brock, some to both of them, some to one of them in particular. He wrote many to Mrs. Brock, invariably addressing her as dear daughter. She was obviously a totally equal partner to Dr. Brock, and also was authorized to give the initiation instructions and was a completely authorized representative as well as her husband. They traveled up and down the West Coast, gave initiation to people in California. Eventually, of course, other representatives were authorized in the work as the work grew. For a long time, they were the only ones. This letter is dated July 23, 1919. And Baba Sawan Singh says, "Dear daughter, yours to hand," meaning that's now old-fashioned shorthand for saying, "I have received your letter. I am glad to learn that you have imparted the spiritual instruction to Mrs. Spear at considerable inconvenience to yourself, but this work could not be entrusted to anyone else. This kind act on your part is greatly appreciated, and in fact there can be no greater charity than taking a soul out of the sphere of Kal Purush and showing it the path leading to Dayal Purush. It was very good of you to give your time to Mrs. Spear and Mr. Parson. They have both of them written to me, and I have sent replies to their letters. Mrs. Spear seems to be a sensible soul, and it is hoped that she will make some progress in the spiritual journey. Mr. Parson is also a man of determined and persevering type, which is very much desirable, as progress along this path depends on love and faith, And as long as these two are not perfect, progress is difficult. As for Mrs. Bridgman, her karma is very defective, and as the saints do not wish to give another incarnation in this world to their followers, it appears proper that her karma should be washed out in this birth. There can be no doubt that she is in great trouble. Still, the debit of karma must be paid off, otherwise it will become the cause of another birth. As a mother takes her baby to the surgeon to get its cancer opened, and it is not her intention to cause pain to her child, but to obtain perfect health for it, and without undergoing pain, the baby cannot recover, so the same is the case with Mrs. Bridgman. Please encourage her so that she may not lose heart, but bear her illness with patience and fortitude, making it to be for her good. Your statement that your husband and yourself, while traveling along the same path, have different experiences is correct. The karma of each is separate, and hence it is that while both are going the same way, yet the success and interruptions along the spiritual journey experienced by the one are different from those experienced by the other. Although much of your karma is similar to that of your husband, yet it cannot be so in its entirety, and hence the difference in the journey. Just as when the wife is ill, the husband is not necessarily, so the karma of each is different. The part you took in imparting the spiritual instruction was right. If it is found inconvenient to sit in the prescribed posture, then one may sit in any easy chair with the hands in the prescribed position, or one may sit squatting and use a wooden bracket to support the elbows in the position. Mrs. Bridgman need not take the prescribed posture, but let her take any convenient posture in her chair or bed and turn her attention to the sound. The only thing is that a posture once taken should not be changed during a single sitting. I greatly appreciate that you do not dislike to keep aloof from society. As none befriends us except the holy sound and the guru, and as at the time of death no society can serve us, then why should we fall in love with societies and the things of this world? They were meant for our comfort, and so we should take service from them according to our need, but not make them idols of worship. True renunciation depends on the attitude of the mind. A man who, while living in the world and doing its work, keeps his mind free from it, can be said to have renounced the world. And one who, living in solitude, has his mind full of worldly desires, should be called a man of the world. Your desire to visit India is welcome. But what I wish is that you may have no need for your physical hands, feet, and body, but travel without feet, speak without tongue, see without eyes, and hear without ears, and while sitting indoors, visit not only India, but the whole of Brahmand. If you saw India with the physical frame, what use if you did not go beyond this world? If you reply that you want to come to India for seeing your guru, then it should be noted that the physical frame is not the real form of the guru. It is a mere dress he has put on in the world and will be put off here. The true form of the guru is holy sound, and in that form the guru permeates every hair on your body and is seated within you. When you will go behind the focus of the eyes, then the guru will meet you in his radiant form, and when you reach Trikuti, the guru shall accompany you in his sound form, even up to Sachkhand. Fly upwards upon the wings of faith and love, so that you may talk to him every day and be with him always. This will come gradually so that you need not despair. Perform your devotion regularly, and one day all these powers shall be yours, and you shall reach your true home. Yours affectionately, Sawan Singh. And that letter, published in the July 1978 issue of Santbani under the title The Real Form of the Guru, I don't believe it's in the book Spiritual Gems. Well, a part of it might be, but I don't think so. But it's available in the book published by the Vancouver Sangat called Foreign Correspondence of Baba Sawan Singh. There's also a manuscript version that is circulated, which is where I took it from. And I would point out that, you know, Dr. and Mrs. Brock did not see a photograph of the master until the year 1927. They were initiated in 1911. Not only did they never go to India and never did meet the master physically, but they never saw a picture of him until 1927. And that was because he never allowed pictures to be taken of him until then. Finally, he did that year, and they saw it. The first time that Dr. Brock saw a master physically was when he met Master Kripal in 1955, after having been initiated in 1911. So we should remember that. Puts things in perspective.
गुर मुख को गुर का गात
हुण कहंदे कि किहे जिहा गुरु दे नाल प्यार होना चाहीदा जिस तरह कामी आदमी नूं इस्त्री प्यारी हुंदी है ओह इस्त्री दा एक मिंट वास्ते विसाह नहीं करदा गा तुरिया जांदा तद वी ओहदी शकल अखां अगे ओहदे आउंदी है तो कहण लगे सतगुरु दी देह दे नाल ਵੀ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇਤਨਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਹੋਣਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਅਗਰ ਦੇਹ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਹੈ ਤਦ ਹੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਬਚਨ ਮੰਨਾਂਗੇ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਬਚਨ ਤਾਂ ਦੇਹ ਨੇ ਸੁਣਾਉਣੀ ਹੈ ਫੇਰ ਹੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬਿਰੇ ਔਰ ਤੜਫ ਹੋਏਗੀ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰਲੇ ਸਰੂਪ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲਣ ਦੀ
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਵਿਚ ਟਾਈਪ ਆਫ ਲਵ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਹੈਵ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਔਰ ਵਿਚ ਟਾਈਪ ਆਫ ਲਵ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਹੈਵ ਦੈਟ ਟਾਈਪ ਆਫ ਲਵ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਸ ਦੀ ਅਨਚੇਸਟ ਪਰਸਨ ਹੈਜ਼ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਸ ਵਾਈਫ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਵੁਮਨ You know that the unchaste person always remember the wife or woman, whether he's walking or talking or doing any other thing. And in the same way, if we will always have our attention towards the master and we will have the love for the master in that way, then whatever master will say, we will listen to it and we will take that to the practice. Because unless we have love for the body of master, we cannot be attentive to him and we cannot take his words to our heart. And when we take his words to our heart and practice them, then the yearning and longing to go within will be created. We have to love the body of the master because the words of the master are going to come out only through the body of the master. That is why unless we have love for the body of the master, we cannot progress.
Guru Ramdas kende hai, maat, pita, sut, istri, sabhun te pyara.
Guru Ramdas ji Maharaj said that my master is dearer than the mother, brother, wife and son.
ਧਰਮਦਾਸ ਨੇ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਇਹੀ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਸੁਪਨੇ ਇੱਛਿਆ ਨਾ ਉੱਠੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਆਣ ਤੁਮਾਰੀ ਹੋ ਹੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਇਹੀ ਇਕਵਾਲ ਕਰਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਮੇਰੇ ਸੁਪਨੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ ਔਰ ਹੁਣ ਤੂੰ ਮੇਰੇ ਸੁਪਨਿਆਂ 'ਚ ਵੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਵੀ ਤੂੰ ਹੈ ਮੇਰੀਆਂ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵੀ ਤੂੰ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਵੀ ਮੈਂ ਕਿਤੇ ਪਾਸੇ ਝਾਕਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਤੂੰ ਹੀ ਦਿਸਦਾ ਹੈ
ਧਰਮਦਾਸ ਹੈਡ ਟੋਲਡ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਲਾਰਡ ਆਈ ਸਵੇਅਰ ਬਾਈ ਯੂ ਐਂਡ ਆਈ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਨਾਓ ਆਈ ਡੋਂਟ ਹੈਵ ਐਨੀ ਡਿਜ਼ਾਇਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਵਰਲਡ ਐਂਡ ਈਵਨ ਇਨ ਮਾਈ ਡ੍ਰੀਮਸ ਆਈ ਸੀ ਯੂ ਵੇਰੈਵਰ ਆਈ ਲੁੱਕ ਵੇਰੈਵਰ ਆਈ ਸੀ ਆਈ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਹੈਵ ਯੋਰ ਬਿਊਟੀਫੁਲ ਫੇਸ ਦੈਟ ਬਿਊਟੀਫੁਲ ਫਾਰਮ ਦੈਟ ਐਂਡ ਆਈ ਡੋਂਟ ਸੀ ਐਨੀਬਡੀ ਐਲਸ ਐਕਸੈਪਟ ਯੂ ਵੇਰੈਵਰ ਆਈ ਸੀ
जैसे कामी को कामन प्यारी अस गुर मुख को गुरु का गात खाते पीते चलते फिरते सोवत जागत विसर न जात
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਹੋਣਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹਦਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੋਇਆ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਖਾਂਦੇ ਪੀਂਦੇ ਉੱਠਦੇ ਬਹਿੰਦੇ ਸੁੱਤੇ ਜਾਗਦੇ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਹੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਜਵਾਨ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਚੜਿਆ ਰਹੇ
ਨਾ ਅਗੇਨ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵਿਚ ਟਾਈਪ ਆਫ ਲਵ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਹੈਵ ਫਾਰ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਹਾਓ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਡੂ ਦ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਗਿਵਨ ਬਾਈ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਹੀ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਈਲ ਈਟਿੰਗ ਡਰਿੰਕਿੰਗ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਸਟੈਂਡਿੰਗ sleeping or awake, we should always have the simran given by the master on our tongue. It means that we should do our simran constantly.
ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਹੀ ਸਾਡੀ ਮਨ ਔਰ ਆਤਮਾ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਧਿਆਨ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਇਹ ਠਹਿਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਤੇ ਸਵਾਰ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਹੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਸਾਡੀ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਸਕਦੀ ਹੈ.
ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਓਨਲੀ ਬਾਈ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਕੰਸਟੈਂਟ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਅਵਰ ਸੋਲ ਐਂਡ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਗੈਟ ਪਿਊਰੀਫਾਈਡ ਐਂਡ ਆਫਟਰ ਦੈਟ ਬਾਈ ਧਿਆਨ ਔਰ ਕੰਟੈਂਪਲੇਸ਼ਨ ਅਵਰ ਸੋਲ ਰਿਮੇਨਸ ਸਟਿਲ ਐਟ ਦੀ ਆਈ ਸੈਂਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਅਵਰ ਸੋਲ ਇਜ਼ ਪਿਊਰੀਫਾਈਡ ਐਂਡ ਇਜ਼ ਸਟਿਲ ਐਟ ਆਈ ਸੈਂਟਰ ਦੈਨ ਕਲਾਈਮਿੰਗ ਔਨ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਇਟ ਕੈਨ ਗੋ ਬੈਕ ਟੂ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ.
खाते पीते चलते फिरते सोवत जागत विसर न जात खटकत रहे पाल ज्योरे दर्दी के ज्यो दर्द समात.
कहिंदे के किस तरह की तड़फ दिल दे विच होनी चाहिदी है, अठो पहरी दिल दे अंदर इस तरह की लगन होवे कि जिस तरह साडे कोई फोड़ा निकलिया होवे जां चीरा दिता हुंदा है, सानू पता है साडा ख्याल उसे पासे लग्या रहिंदा है. कहन लगे इस तरह दा गुरु दे दिल दे अंदर तड़फ होनी चाहिदी है, इस तरह दा इश्क होना चाहिदा है.
He said that which type of longing we should have for the master and how much our attention should be at the master. He said that when we are sick, like when we have any boil or any wound, all our attention is at that wound and all the times we remember the pain which we are having. In the same way, if we have love and yearning for the master, only then we can become successful.
Pal pal kariye yaad guru nu andar chup chupate ik duniya ik guru de bajo duniya andar jhoothe sare nate.
Moment after moment in the within we must remember our master. Because except the relation of the master, all other relations in this world are false.
Khatkat rahe paal jiyon yare dardi ke jiyon dard samat aisi lagan guru sang ja ki वह गुर मुख परमारथ पात.
हुण कहिंदे जो कुछ मैं उपर दस्या है उहदे मुताबक अगर प्यार है किसी सेवक दे अंदर सत्संगी सिख दे अंदर तो उस दा उस जरूर ही परमारथ दे नाल मालो माल हो जांदा है. गुरु अंदर बैठा है जद उह देखदा है कि इहदे अंदर सच्ची तड़फ है मैनू मिलना चाहुंदा है तो उह बूहा खोल दिंदा है.
Now he said that whatever I have said in the above lines about the love which a disciple should have for the master. If the satsangi, if the disciples of the master create so much love and yearning for the master, they can easily become wealthy with the spiritual wealth because master is sitting within each of us and that is why he knows that how much yearning and longing and devotion we have for him and how much love we have created for him. And when he sees all the yearning and love which we have for him, he opens his door for us and he makes us wealthy with the spiritual wealth.
ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਦੋਂ ਬੱਚਾ ਸੁੱਤਾ ਹੈ ਮਾਤਾ ਬੇਫਿਕਰ ਹੈ ਆਪਣਾ ਕਾਰੋਬਾਰ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ. ਜਦ ਬੱਚਾ ਮਾਤਾ ਦੇ ਮਿਲਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਰੋਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਦ ਉਸਨੂੰ ਭੁੱਖ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਹੈ ਨੀਂਦ ਤੋਂ ਫਾਰਗ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਰੋਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਮਾਤਾ ਜੋ ਵੀ ਕੰਮ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਇੱਕਦਮ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਨੂੰ ਸੰਭਾਲਦੀ ਹੈ, ਜੈਸੀ ਵੀ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਵੈਸਾ ਉਸਨੂੰ ਖਾਣਾ ਜਾਂ ਨਵਾਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ.
We know that when the child is sleeping, the mother doesn't pay a lot of attention to the child because he is sleeping and mother takes that time in doing other works. But after taking a nap or after sleeping for some time, when the child gets up and wants to eat or drink something and when he doesn't find the mother in front of him, he starts weeping and calls for mother. As soon as the mother hears the call of the child, she at once leave off all the work which she was doing, no matter how much important that work is. And she at once comes to the baby and provides him or her with all what he or she wants.
Aisi lagan guru sang ja ki vah gur mukh paramarath paat jab lag guru pyari nahi aise tab lag rasi jano jaat.
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗਲੇ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਝਾਤੀ ਮਾਰ ਕੇ ਦੇਖਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਹੈ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਚਿਕਰ ਇਹ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਨੂੰ ਮਜ਼ਾਕ ਹੀ ਸਮਝਦਾ ਹੈ, ਇੱਕ ਸੰਤ ਮਤ ਨੂੰ ਮਜ਼ਾਕ ਹੀ ਸਮਝਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਇਹ ਇਸੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕਾਮਯਾਬ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਪੂਰਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਗਾ। ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਡੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਦੀ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਨਹੀਂ, ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਆਪ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਪਿਆਰ 'ਚ ਫਸਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ। ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸੀਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਦੇਖੀਏ ਜਾਂ ਨਾ ਦੇਖੀਏ, ਸੀਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਨਾ ਦੁੱਖ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਸੁੱਖ ਹੈ, ਸਿਰਫ ਦੇਖਣੇ ਵਾਲੇ ਨੂੰ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ। ਸੀਸਾ ਵੀ ਸਾਡੀਆਂ ਜਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਕਿਰਨਾਂ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ ਉਸ ਨਾਲ ਟਕਰਾ ਕੇ ਸਾਡਾ ਚਿਹਰਾ ਦਿਖਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਹੱਸਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਹੱਸਦੇ ਦੇਖ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਰੋਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਰੋਂਦੇ ਦੇਖ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਇਹੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਸਾਡੀ ਹੈ। ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਜੋ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸ਼ੀਸ਼ਾ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡੀਆਂ ਹੀ ਕਿਰਨਾਂ ਉਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਟਕਰਾ ਕੇ ਸਾਡਾ ਹੀ ਚਿਹਰਾ ਦਿਖਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਜਾਂ ਕੀ ਹੋਏ ਭਾਵਨਾ ਜੈਸੀ, ਹਰ ਮੂਰਤ ਦੇਖੀ ਤਨ ਤੈਸੀ।
Now he said that we have to look in our own within and see that how much yearning, longing and love we have for the master. He said that those who don't have yearning and longing and love for the master, as long as they don't have all these things for the master, they think that satsang and the path of the masters is all joke and not more than a joke, and that is why they don't take complete advantage and full benefit of it, and that is why they don't understand that it is a very important thing which they are doing. Unless we have so much love and yearning for the master, we cannot recognize his glory. Masters are not hungry for our love, and they are not hungry for our yearning for them, because they are already yearning and are having love for their master. But unless we have so much love and yearning for them, we cannot become successful. The only reason of our not becoming successful in this path is that we don't have enough love and yearning for the master. Unless we have love and yearning, we cannot take even one step in this path of the masters. And unless we have love and yearning, we cannot understand the importance of this path. Masters, as I told earlier, are not hungry for the love of the disciples. The Gurumukhs are just like the mirrors. The mirror doesn't bother if nobody uses it or nobody pays any attention to it. He will not weep or he will not cry. He will not request people to come and look their faces in the mirror. He will always remain there, and he is least bothered if anybody doesn't come and use it. And if anybody is interested in looking at his own image, at his own face, he needs to go in front of the mirror and he needs to look there, and what he will see the reflection of his own self. If we are laughing in front of the mirror, we will see our laughing face, smiling face. If we are weeping, we will see our weeping face. So, but the mirror is not bothered, whatever we do in front of him. In the same way, when we come to the masters, whatever image we have, whatever feelings we have in our within for him, we will see the image, we will see the form of the master according to that. At one place, Guru Sahib says that whatever feelings we have for the master, we will see his form, we will see our own image in him like that. So that is why it doesn't make any difference to the master when you don't have love and yearning for them. But unless you have love and yearning, you cannot progress in the path of the masters.
Our closing bhajan is on page 253. Mujhe apna bana lo kripal. O kripal, make me your own. Everyone calls you the gracious one. Oh, Sadhguru, do not look at my faults. I am filled with many faults. Oh, Sadhguru, cut my despair. I have borne much desperation and pain. Oh, Sadhguru, please consider. Everyone calls you the gracious one. The sinner mind is very strong. It makes me sin and takes away my virtue. Day and night, it remains involved in the intoxication of lust, anger, greed, attachment, and egoism. O protector, shower grace. Everyone calls you the gracious one. Many great rishis and munis were swayed away in the stream of mind. O Satguru, except you, who will hold the hand of me, a small jiva? O my Satguru, the gracious one of the poor, everyone calls you the gracious one. He himself protects his disciples. From the lowly ones he makes them the highest. Ajab is in your refuge, O Satguru. May his honor be protected. O Sawan's Kripal, Everyone calls you the gracious one. Gopal, make me your own. Everyone calls you the gracious one. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 253.
Mujhe apna bana lo kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte, sab kehte, sab kehte kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte. Mujhe apna bana lo kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte, sab kehte, sab kehte kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte. Na dekho meri avagun satguru, avaguna mujhe mein bahut bare. Kato mere sankat satguru, sankat mehne bohot sahe. Na dekho mere avaguna satguru, avaguna mujhe mein bohot bare. Kato mere sankat satguru, sankat mehne bohot sahe. Satguru karo keyal, dayal tujhe sab kehte, sab kehte, sab kehte dekhpal, dayal tujhe sab kehte. Mujhe apna bana lo kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte, sab kehte kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte. Man papi ka jor abda hai, pap kara hai sada guna hare. Kama krodha mada loba moha me, lipata dino ora rat rahe. Man papi ka jor abda hai, pap karai sada guna hare. Kama krodha mada loba moha me, lipata dino ora rat rahe. Deya karo rakaval, deyal tujhe sab kehte, sab kehte, sab kehte kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte. Mujhe apna bana lo kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte, sab kehte, sab kehte kripal, dayal tujhe sab kehte. Bade bade rishi muni hue jo, ve bimana ki dar bahe. Mujhe ek chote jeev ki satguru, tum bina bahia kon gahe. Bade bade rishi muni hue jo, ve bimana ki dar bahe. Mujhe ek chote jeev ki satguru, tum bina bahia kon gahe. ਹੈ ਮੇਰੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦੀਨਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਮੁਝੇ ਆਪਣਾ ਬਣਾ ਲਓ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਸੇਵਕ ਕੀ ਆਪੇ ਰਾਖੇ ਨੀਚੋ ਹੀ ਪਿਰ ਉਂਚ ਕਰੇ ਆਜਾਇਬ ਤੇਰੀ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਮੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਗਤ ਕੀ ਭੇਜ ਰਹੇ ਆਪੇ ਸੇਵਕ ਆਪੇ ਰਾਖੇ ਨੀਚੋ ਹੀ ਫਿਰ ਉਂਚ ਕਰੇ ਆਜਾਇਬ ਤੇਰੇ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਮੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਗਤ ਕੀ ਭੇਜ ਰਹੇ ਸਾਵਨ ਕੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਮੁਝੇ ਆਪਣਾ ਬਣਾ ਲਓ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦਿਆਲ ਤੁਝ ਸਭ ਕਹਤੇ
Your desire to visit India is welcome, but what I wish is that you may have no need for your physical hands, feet, and body. Travel without feet, speak without tongue, see without eyes, and hear without ears. And while sitting indoors, visit not only India, but the whole of Brahmand. If you saw India with the physical frame, what use? If you did not go beyond this world. If you reply that you want to come to India for seeing your guru, then it should be noted that the physical frame is not the real form of the guru. It is a mere dress he has put on in the world and will be put off here. The true form of a guru is holy sound, and in that form the guru permeates every hair on your body and is seated within you. When you will go behind the focus of the eyes, then the Guru will meet you in his radiant form, and when you reach Trikuti, the Guru shall accompany you in his sound form, even up to Sachkhand. Fly upwards upon the wings of faith and love, so that you may talk to him every day, and be with him always. This will come gradually, so you need not despair. Perform your devotion regularly, and one day all these powers shall be yours, and you shall reach your true home. Yours affectionately, Sawan Singh. May God bless us all.